In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Lord instructs us about his kingdom. He also instructs us about the kingdom of the devil. So we do well to mark the distinction between the two. In our day, especially in our country, there are many misconceptions about what the kingdom of God is. So let's quickly put those aside. It is not Christian nationalism. It is not having the right guy in Sacramento or in Washington. It is not having God's laws in our land. Those things do not consist of the kingdom of God, though of course they are good, and we should pray for such good and godly laws in our country. But having those things would not make us Christian. So it does not bring us into the kingdom of God, nor does it defeat the enemies which are set at destroying our faith. God's kingdom does not exist of presidents or rulers, magistrates or judges. God's kingdom does not exist in having earthly peace and prosperity, or even in good and godly laws. The kingdom of God is what you have learned and confessed in the creed. That God sent his one and only Son, born of the Virgin, to redeem us from the power of the devil and of death. Not with gold or silver, not with weapons or legislation, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. He did this to rescue us, so that we might be free from the devil, from death, from sin, from hell, and even from an evil conscience. To accomplish this, he sends forth his Holy Spirit, carrying the forgiveness that he won, so that it might be preached in all the world and celebrated in the sacraments. So simply stated, the kingdom of God is nothing else and nothing more than this, the forgiveness of sins. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, our struggle is not against another country, our struggle is against the devil and the evil forces at work within this world. This is an act of faith, then, on our part, that we would recognize we need God's kingdom desperately, and that our enemies are not set on destroying an economy or a country, but on our very souls. Learn then to recognize the devil's kingdom and how he works. Unlike Christ's kingdom, the devil's kingdom does operate in this world. But we dare not equate our nation's enemies with God's enemies. America is a nation under God, but so is every other nation on earth. America is not unique or special when it comes to being under God. The authorities that exist, Scripture says, have been established by God. The devil, however, is after men's hearts. He doesn't need the country. He doesn't need the outward possession. He doesn't need to make you mute or deaf or strong like Legion. He only needs your soul, your will, your heart. And he attains that by his lies. He is an angel of light, or appears as an angel of light, promising wisdom, things that are pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining a good life here on this earth. And yet it's nothing but sin, destruction, and slavery. He says this is the way adults act, free to do and move about as they please without having to be concerned about anyone else. And men follow. Their hearts are enslaved to the evil one. He takes the good blessings of God, marriage, and he turns it upside down. So how often marriage is viewed as nothing more than a contract like entering a social club, which I can leave at any time. how often on TV, if marriage is even portrayed anymore. Is marriage nothing more than bitterness, conflict, and a power struggle? Satan takes the good things of God and ruins it, and men then do not pursue or desire the things of God. He does the same with money, so that we live for making money for ourselves instead of living to be a blessing to others. And he does the same, yes, even with alcohol, a good gift of God that men readily abuse to try to detach themselves from the reality that Christ has created. They think this is life. All men are conceived and born in the kingdom of the devil. And yet men cannot understand this by their own reason or strength, so they are perplexed why a good and gracious God would allow those who are seemingly innocent to suffer such horrendous atrocities. They forget that no man is innocent before God, regardless of his age. So they want to deny the working of the devil. They want to deny the working of God. But if we've learned nothing over the past few years, it's that what you believe doesn't create reality. You live in God's reality or in the Creator's reality, not in the reality that you desire. So one may choose not to believe in the devil. One may choose to live contrary to the ways of God. One may choose to not be a Christian and be a fine, upstanding man outwardly. But remember, the kingdom of God does not come in good works or in outward ways. It does not come for voting for the right person or by doing the right things. The kingdom of God comes only in the forgiveness of sins. So where forgiveness of sins is not present, there the kingdom of God is not present. Again, we are not talking outwardly, but the heart. Where forgiveness and faith do not reign in the heart, there is the devil's kingdom. Christ must drive out this devil, and he says he does it by the finger of God. Elsewhere, he says he does it by the Holy Spirit. Christ alone can set our souls free. So to be in God's kingdom is a matter of where the soul dwells, or better, who dwells in the soul, not where you physically are located. It's peace and righteousness and life and security. It's not being in the right house or under the right government or in the right country. It's the forgiveness of sins. For only that forgiveness gives peace to a troubled conscience and standing before God. We are holy and righteous because Christ has declared us so, and he has sealed it in his own blood. We have peace, maybe outwardly, but certainly inwardly, because Christ has taken away and borne our sins and put on us his perfect righteousness. We have a clear heart, a clear mind, and a clear conscience because of the blood of Christ. This is the kingdom of God, a place with God in heaven, a joyful and peaceful heart, knowing that Christ has secured it all. Our souls are guarded by him who loved us to the end. The dragon bit the Son of Man dangling from the cross, and in the process he himself was crushed. So you are safe. You are secure by the forgiveness that Christ has won. You rest within the walls of his kingdom, for it is Christ who dwells within you, so that he might guard your hearts and minds. You are free. But understand, freedom is not being able to do whatever you desire. Freedom is living according to the commandments of God, walking according to the Spirit of God. You are free from following the impulses of your flesh. You are free from the devil's snares. You are free from sin. You are free from death. You are free to be what God created you to be. A husband or wife, father, mother, son, daughter, a worker, a citizen in this country, and a member of this congregation. You are free to carry out these vocations with joy and gladness, knowing that nothing can condemn you, for Christ has forgiven you. The kingdom of God is not one of location, or of countries, or of outward peace and food and drink. The kingdom of God is one of forgiveness and righteousness freely bestowed on you through faith. Yet Christ issues a warning. He does not believe in once saved, always saved. A man can lose his faith. A Christian can forsake the forgiveness of God and turn away from God, and his condition will be worse than it was before. Pay attention to this warning, not to terrify yourself, but so that you might seek the proper remedy against such apostasy. St. Paul instructs you to walk according to the Spirit, to live holy and godly lives, and to flee every sin. Because when you engage in sin, when you follow the temptations of the devil, you open the door to demons. Christ has set you free from them, but they do not give up on you as long as you walk this earth. You may not see them, but he does, and he warns you of them so that you might take refuge in his forgiveness. So how do you guard yourself against them? How do you withstand their assaults and their temptations? How do you remain a Christian, in other words? Not by being in the right location, not by being in the right government, not by doing good works, not by walking and living a godly life. How do you remain a Christian is nothing else than this: the forgiveness of sins. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In Revelation, it is written that they, that is the saints of God, have overcome the dragon. How? By the testimony of their word and by the blood of the Lamb. That is, by the word of God and by the blessed sacrament. For it is there that Christ freely bestows on you the forgiveness of sins and thus freely gives to you his eternal kingdom. Christ is the stronger one. He doesn't leave you alone to wander toward heaven on your own. He remains with you always in word and in supper. He doesn't forsake you, nor does he make you the stronger one. He remains your Savior and your Lord. He is with you always in word. He is with you always in supper, so that your body, heart, soul, mind, and will might be filled with the forgiveness of sins. Might be filled with the kingdom of God. So daily you pray, "Thy kingdom come," so that the devil's kingdom may have no power over you, and Christ doesn't make you wait. He gives you that kingdom in his word. He gives you that kingdom in his supper. You have it right now, because he is the one who has rescued you. He doesn't direct your attention to Washington or Sacramento. He directs your attention to an altar and a pulpit. The forgiveness of sins preached from this pulpit and placed on your tongue in that sacrament rescue you. This conquers nations. This destroys the demons. This sets your tongue free so that you might declare his praises. This makes you and keeps you within the kingdom of Christ. The darkness cannot overcome you. The devil's dominion is not increasing, regardless of what your eyes may see. It is not increasing, but decreasing. For Christ's church only is growing. The light continues to advance. The gospel is preached. and heaven is being filled day after day, hour after hour, with those who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, your brothers and your sisters. Take heart, the Lord knows those who are his. His kingdom fills the earth and fills the world because the gospel has gone out throughout this world. At best, the devil is grasping at straws, trying to hold on to his fleeting power. Yet Christ is still here preaching, not just at this location, preaching throughout the world the forgiveness that he has won and calling his own to him. So daily take up those words on your lips. Thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.